We began a message last week calling Be Strong in Holiness, and we're going to finish up that sermon tonight, Be Strong in Holiness, and this is our part two. It's in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16 again, give you a little review of what we talked about last week and head right into this week's message. You know, the Bible tells us, Be ye holy, for I am holy. We see that verse in Leviticus, and it's amazing. You know, what some people get this wrong understanding of what holiness is. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Some people think it's you got to have a certain look or you got to be have a certain actions. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little while. But I want us to understand holiness is becoming like Jesus Christ, becoming more like Him. We'll never ever reach that goal of being holy like God is because God has never sinned. God has never done anything that's wrong. But we can be set apart and consecrated for service. That idea holy has someone, the root words is talking about wholeness and the idea of the maturity of a believer. And I think an individual can be mature as a believer and still growing each day, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, because we'll never ever be like Him until we see Him. But He tells us in His word here, He says, be holy for I am holy. And last week we looked at a little bit how to get there. This week we're going to look at three more points of how to get there and how to be holy. Let's look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Last week we gave you these three points about how to become strong in holiness. The first point was gird up the loins of your mind. And when you gave that illustration, most of you were here, most of you remember how Christian Bateman came out. He wore the old Israelite type garb or his robe, and girding up your loins is taking your robe, which is usually long and would hinder you to move quickly or hinder you from a great amount of extreme work. They would gird up their loins and they would bring up and they would tie up inside what they called a girdle back then, but most of us would know it as a belt. They would tie it up so that way they could run the race or they could do an extreme work. And we talked about that, and that's an important thing to remember. If we really truly need to be holy, there are certain things that we need to gird up in our minds. There are certain things in our mind that will slow us down. We talked last week about if we're not established in our faith and we can be blown away from one spot to another spot when it comes to our doctrine, we need to gird those things up in our mind. We truly need to get those things that are going to slow us down. As they would take up their robe and they would bring it up so they could run faster, as we run in our Christian race, we need to make sure we know what we believe and why we believe it. We also talk about girding up the looseness or the being lax about morality or entertainment. We talked about how some people that they can't run this race like they should because they haven't girded up the loins of their mind when it came to morality and entertainment. We also talked about how some people are lax or loose about their attitudes. And we talked about so many times what's slowing us down in a race is because of anger or bitterness, envy, jealousy, worry, things like that. And we've learned that if we truly want to run this race, if we truly want to be holy, what we're going to need to do is to take those things that are slowing us down, take those things that, like it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, maybe a weight, maybe a sin that so easily besets us. We need to take those things, we need to gird them up, we need to be serious, which is the point number two we learned last week about being sober. It says here, be sober. And we talked about being sober, being serious, being clear of mind. We need to be serious when it comes to sin. We talked about too many people take sin so lightly and they don't feel sorry for their sin. Instead, they might confess it before God, but they never really agree with God and never get it right. And how we need to be serious about studying, how it's the Word of God that's going to make us holy. Nothing else that's really ever going to bring us holy to holiness unless we study the Word of God. And we also talked about being serious about souls. And then at the end of verse number 13, we says, and a hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be hoping towards. Looking forward today, Jesus Christ is going to come back. I like that phrase where it says, for the grace that is to be brought unto you. What grace that will be bestowed upon us when we see Jesus Christ. Just a wonderful thought there. So we're going to look here tonight, verses number 14 15 and gets mentioned verse number 16. So three more things, how to be strong in holiness. And number four is, and it's pretty simple, it says, as obedient children. So number four is, be obedient. You read that phrase, as obedient children, there's a relationship that's stated there. It's showing us that we are children. What a good reason for living a holy life. We are members of the royal family of heaven. We represent Jesus Christ as obedient children. More than this is a commandment. This is once again, he's talking to this group of new believers. He's talking to this group of believers that are risking their lives just being called Christians. That during this time period, these believers, they can be put in prison. They can be put to death. This is when Nero was persecuting the Christians. And he goes up to him and says, as obedient children, there's a relationship. You are a child of the King. There's been a change in our lives. And what the Bible is saying here is, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He says, look, the way you live your life is supposed to be distinct. It's supposed to be different. You're a child of the King now. And you're not supposed to fashion your life. You're not supposed to make your life and mold your life after your former lust. Instead, now you have something that you need to be living for. Excuse me. Something that is different now, a holy life. There should be a clear distinction between the old life and then when you became a Christian. Christians are to live a holy life. We got so much more than just a change of name when we became a believer, when we became a Christian. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, there is a brief description of the description of us before we were saved. And you see there, it talks about our lust here in Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Bible says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. You see here in verse number 2 and verse number 3 that we used to not have a choice. It says that we used to fulfill the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of our mind. We were by nature the children of wrath. And when it comes back to 1 Peter chapter number 1, he says, look, as obedient children, no longer do you have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. No longer do you have to fulfill the lust of your mind. No longer are you the children of wrath, but instead you are something different. So do not fashion yourselves after the former lust, but instead begin fashioning yourselves as Jesus Christ, being obedient children. You think about the relationship we have. We know Him better. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God to lead us. We no longer have to be like that. No longer do we have to do the old lust. No longer are we in prison to that. We've been transformed. We should be transformed from the inside. So if we really truly want to be holy, we need to remember these things. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to be sober. We need to hope to the end. But we got to learn to be obedient. And there's a responsibility given. And he said, as obedient children. You see, children talks about the relationship. What are we supposed to do as children? We're supposed to be obedient. You know, the Lord desires His children to be obedient. Not only does He desire us to be holy, He desires us to be obedient. I don't know about you, but one of the most convicting illustrations or thoughts I say, and I don't like saying it a lot because it brings conviction to me, is that, you know, when I have my children, I like to make them obey. Because I think it's what's best for them. I want them to listen to what I say. I want them to do what I say, do it when I tell them to do it, and do it with the right attitude. That's what I desire for them, because I think that's what's best for them, that they follow the leadership. I think it's biblical. But the thing that convicts me is when I start asking myself, do I obey God that way? You know, I get upset, I get frustrated. We see the kids that are in the store. You see those little brats that are screaming in the cart, I want a piece of candy, and, you know, give me a piece of candy, you know, telling their mom, I want a piece of candy. No, and they just won't listen. And what do you want to do with them? You want to say, well, somebody needs to go take them to the bathroom and teach them something. And, you know, that kid needs to learn how to obey. And that kid just needs to learn how to listen. But then he reminds me, you know, when I think about how I obey God sometimes, man, I expect my son. I says, look, son, you need to listen. It's what you're supposed to do. You need to do it at the time I tell you to do it. And you need to do it with the right attitude. And then I say to myself, do I listen to God that way? because God is my Father and I'm supposed to be as an obedient children. Do I really truly listen? So what do? Do you minimize maybe you don't make your kids mind as much? No. You look at your relationship and you say, look, I need to obey God that way. It's not taking certain times off. It's not saying it with the right. I need to learn as obedient children. I'm not going to fashion myself according to the lust of my flesh. I'm not going to fashion myself according to the lust of my mind. No longer do I have to be a children of wrath. Instead, I have something else I can fashion myself after. And that is Jesus Christ. That is holy living. That is becoming like Jesus Christ. So not only do I need to gird up the loins of my mind and see the things that are slowing me down in my race. And not only do I need to learn how to be serious and hope to the end, but I need to say, I need to be an obedient child of God. I need to say, look, I'm going to be obedient. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Deuteronomy 5:29 has a wonderful verse, and you can hear the heart of the Lord when he's saying this. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. He's saying, look, that they would have the heart to just obey and have the heart to fear him, that it would be well with them. James chapter 1 says, be ye doers of the words and not hearers only. James 1:25, be a doer of the work. This man should be blessed in his deed, not he being not a forgetful hearer. We need to learn and understand that if we truly want to be holy, we got to say, as an obedient child, I am going to learn how to obey God. Just as I would expect my child to listen to me and be able to discipline my child and prepare them for the way that they should listen to God and prepare them for life, because they're going to be answering the people all their lives. You're just being kind to your child and giving them a bye and not saying that they have to listen, not saying they have to be biblical and do all these other things. You're not helping your child at all. And so when you help your child understand the importance of their relationship and their responsibilities inside their family and what their goals should be, it helps them understand what your goals are and what God's goals for their life is as obedient children. Now the fifth thing, which is number two for tonight, and I know you're going to say it sounds just like the first one, but it's be obedient in all areas. You say that's the same thing as being obedient and as children. Yes, it is a little bit, but it's not just being obedient when you want to be obedient. Because I know I can tell my sons, okay, hey, look, we're going to Dairy Queen, get an ice cream, everybody in the car. They're going to do that quickly, and they're going to do that fast, and they're going to do that with a good attitude. Yeah, yes, let's go. Do I even have to put shoes on, Dad? You know, can I just go in and get in the car? They want to obey something like that. But you get to verse number 6:15 here. It says, but as he which hath called you, once again, is different than our former lusts and our ignorance. Now we can live as Jesus Christ lives. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now this word conversation, we've talked about this before. It's talking about the way of life or our way of living. And it's talking about how we need to be holy in every area of our lives. And this is where we talked and spent a little bit of time last week. And I don't want to seem like I'm being harsh, but it's a problem inside of a lot of our circles at independent Baptist churches. So many times that if a person dresses right or a person is always faithful in the church, a person never would have the wrong hairstyle. It would be short for a man, long for a lady. They would never ever do anything that they would consider on the outward and be something that would be questionable, but inside their heart is cold, and maybe because of bitterness or maybe because of envy or maybe because of jealousy. These are not people that are Christ-like. They're not people that are godly, but they have a holier-than-thou attitude. I don't know if you ever met anybody like that, but I've met a lot of people like that. A lot of people who would have, you know that they have issues and they have problems, but they look down on you because something outwardly you do differently than what they would do. And I'm not saying that it's not right to dress right. We should dress right. I'm not saying that it's not right for us to do things that are biblical. We should be biblical people. But it's in all manner of conversation. There are some things we need to gird up the loins of our mind when it comes to bitterness and envy and jealousy and our attitudes and lying and being deceitful and maybe worrying and all those other things. It's all areas of our lives. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus, I think, preached one of the hardest sermons he ever preached. Why don't you take your Bible there and we'll look at that really quickly. Matthew chapter 23, he's talking to the Pharisees. On the outside, the Pharisees look like they looked really good. I mean, they were spiritual people on the outside, but everyone knew there was a problem with them.
Everyone looked at them and said, yes, those are religious leaders of the day, but they saw the way that they did things and there was something wrong with them. But Jesus stands up to them and Jesus says to them in this passage of scripture, a number of woe unto them or woe unto you. And we're not going to have time to read all of it, but I want you to get the picture here. True holiness, it begins inside and it comes out. It's the transforming that Jesus Christ does the work inside and comes out. Don't ever let our outside teach us whether or not we're holy. It's what's in the heart, first and foremost. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, the Bible says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These all you have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's saying, look, you are so good at doing these things. Yes, they're important, but when it comes to the weightier matter of the laws, judgment, mercy, and faith. And look what it says in verse 24. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You know, that they would be so particular about something on the outwardly, but inwardly they would just take it, as long as it didn't show. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Man, that is strong stuff, isn't it? I mean, that is full of, you know, just he lays it out there for them and says, and this is the problem that happens in many independent Baptist churches. Somebody doesn't worry about the inside and let the inside go more and more and more and more sour to where everyone knows, but they look right, they dress right, they must be holy. That's not what holiness is. Holiness, as it says in verse number 28, it talks about that's outwardly appear righteous. We must learn to take care of the inward that it talks about in the verses. It's not about it's within the cup and the platter. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 now. And you say, okay, Pastor, so how am I supposed to be obedient? You're supposed to be obedient in all areas. It's not just looking good for mankind. It's not looking good so people will stand up and they'll take notice. It's not looking good just so people will say, hey, look, there is a holy person. That's not our interest at all. And the third thing for tonight, not only are we supposed to be as obedient children and obedient in all areas, and it's not just, hey, I'm here. That's not it. No one's going to stand up and give you praise just because you came to church. That's not where it stops at. It's about serving. It's about giving. It's about all areas of our lives. It's about working in those areas that we don't like people to touch. It's about working in those areas that we keep hidden and those private areas that no one else we think knows about them, but many times they stay as a sign on our forehead that we think nobody else really notices, but we all see them and we all know that we need to be praying for them and we need to understand that we must become obedient in all areas of our lives. It's not just outward things. And not all of us get outward things right, but it's about the inward things first. That is not an excuse to go out and live against the Bible. It's the reason to get things right on the inside because we want to be holy here. That's what it's talking about, how to be holy. The third thing is to be motivated by Him. To be motivated by Him. Look what it says once again in verse 15. But as He which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It shows us what our motivation should be. It's because the one who has called us, the one who has saved us, our Father, He is holy. So because of that, we should be holy. Number 16, verse 16 says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So what is our motive for holy living? We are to live a holy life for our Lord. This is a command from God. No one can ever force you to do something you don't want to do. They might put a gun to your head. They might take your life away from you before making you do it. But they can't force you to think the way that they want you to think. The Lord Jesus wants you, because of what He has done for you, to live in a way that honors Him. Remember, as obedient children, Sometimes our children do things that we are very, very proud of. And sometimes people come up and say, hey, I appreciate what your sons have done, or your sons have done this, and your sons are good at this. You know, we're thankful when our children honor us by doing the things that they're supposed to do. But we also know there are times when they come up to you and say, hey, look, let me tell you something your son did or your kid did, and he shouldn't have done this. You know, the same thing. How do we honor the Lord with our lives? Will you do what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, or will you do it so you can be seen of men? As we saw in Matthew chapter 23, he used that word hypocrite over and over because they were saying and trying to outwardly be something that they were not. They were saying, look at me, look how I'm dressed, look at the church I go to, look at the friends I have, look at what I read, look at what I watch. This must make me holy. But inwardly, they were full of dead man's bones. Don't get me wrong, if the inward is right, the outward's going to be right too. But what is it that we are looking for? Are we looking for the approval of me, or looking for the approval of the Sunday school teachers or the deacons or the other church members, or who are we looking for approval of? And he's saying, look, the reason why you need to be holy, the reason why you should desire to be holy, is because the one who has called you is holy. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, it says here, because it is written. You know, where is that written at? It's found in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. If you read that chapter in Leviticus chapter number 11, you'll see that it's full of Old Testament ritual. It's full of typology. It actually mostly deals with the ceremonial cleanness of the matter of the diet. It begins talking about which animals, and it talks about split hooves, and it talks about people who chew their cud and people who just eat normal. It's really not that interesting unless you're really into that. But, you know, it talks about ritual type things. But at the end of all that chapter, he writes, or at least at the end of talking about the diet and detailing at length what animals are clean and which animals were unclean. And there are certain reasons why certain ones were clean and unclean. It had mostly to do with dietary things, but also the law was there to set apart that these were the Israelites. These are things that they did. And also they were to help, the law was there to help us show that man can't follow the law, and that the law cannot save a person. But at the end of these typologies, in the ceremony of cleanness, he writes, for I am the Lord your God. This is Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Now, this is what he's saying. He's like, I brought you up here not so you can go do whatever you want in the promised land. He says, I want to be your God. And then he says, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Now, it's you know, if you're reading that in the Old Testament and you read those things, you would say, okay, if I follow these dietary laws, that's going to make me holy. Well, we know that we fast forward to the New Testament. We see the man who was writing this. And remember what happened to him in the book of Acts? Remember how when he was sitting on top of the roof and the blanket came down, all those unclean animals came, and the Lord or God said to him, you know, get up, kill, eat. And he says, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. I've never, you know what he was saying? Hey, look, I'm holy. I would never do something like that. And God said, he talked about, calling things unclean that God calls clean. And you said, Pastor, what are you getting at? See, God there was breaking down the wall partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the dietary restrictions. Peter knows now in this passage of scripture, he brings this out, and he brings it out in a naked type form, and the idea that these dietary laws, they didn't matter anymore. They didn't count anymore. The Lord had divinely dismissed them. They were ceremonially cleanness. It might have cut the mustard in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit of God lives in us now. Back then, they had to follow these laws. And when they followed these laws, they showed them, hey, look, I can't be holy because I can't keep all these laws. And they showed us that it was God and he wanted to be their God. But now they do not have to fashion themselves after their old lusts. Instead, they have something they can fashion themselves of. It's Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he rose again. And the Holy Spirit of God lives inside these believers. And he's saying, look, you need to be holy because he is holy. You can fashion yourself after Jesus Christ because he is the one that is holy. And it's not about the cleanliness of the beasts and the animals anymore. And I think Peter, as he's writing this, he understands that they should live right. They need to learn to live right. They need to learn to be obedient children. They need to learn to gird up the loins of their mind. And remember, many times there were Judaizers that were trying to get them to become circumcised and eat the certain legal things. And they were trying to get this first century church to be Jews, but also be Christians at the same time. And he's saying, look, just be holy. Simply put, be holy. And what motivates us to be holy? It should be Jesus Christ. Do you know why we should live right? Why we should live right is because of where this command comes from. And becomes what we believe about the one who gave it. It was Jesus Christ who gave this. Because he loves us and we love him, we learn to serve him and live for him because of what he did for us. It's our motivation. It's, do we really truly love him? Because he's saying, look, I want you to be holy. So, well, Pastor, I dress this way and I don't watch this and I do watch this. Are you holy? Are you becoming more like Jesus Christ every day? Are you longing to be with him? Are you in his word? Are you praying? Are you making the fruits of the Spirit come alive in your life as we learn about in the book of Galatians? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? And we learned that there's two people fighting in us. It's the old lust. The world wants us to fashion after them, our former lust, the way that we were before, after the lust of our own minds and the lust of our flesh. They pull at us. They try to say, this is how I want you to live. This is the way I want you to live. And Jesus is saying over here, look, I want you to live holy. What does that mean? He says, I want you to live like me. I want you to live. When the Bible says to forgive, I want you to forgive. You say, Pastor, that's too hard. That's too tough. Remember, it's all manner of conversation. When it says, hey, look, I want you to be an obedient child when it comes to, you know, whether it be church attendance or giving, or whether it be telling people about souls or not being angry and not talking gossip or whatever it is. You know, you say, well, I'm holy. Are we becoming like him? Because last week, I know some people put holiness and they put it with somebody who just looks like they're holier than now. That's not what Peter's saying here at all. He's saying to them, look, gird up the loins of your mind. Those things that are slowing you down, pull them up, get ready to run the race, and be serious about it. Stop playing around with your sin. Be sober-minded, be clear-minded when it comes to your sins and your studying and your soul. And then also, hope to the end. Look forward to the day that Jesus Christ is going to come back, because I want to be like him, and I'm going to meet him someday, and I'm going to stand before him, and I want him to be pleased with me. And as obedient children, just as like we would want children around us to listen to us. We go back to simply say, you know what? I wish my son or daughter would listen to us better. I wonder how often God would think that about us. I just wish that son or that daughter would learn to be obedient. There's a relationship there. I saved them from that former life. I took them out of that present world. No longer do they have to be forced to serve that. Now they can become like me. And they do seem like they got some things worked out, but we need to be holy and be obedient in all manner of life. I think some of us probably got some things worked out. And I'm not saying one thing's more important than the other, but sometimes we can, if we got certain things okay, that we can justify the little sins that we have and say, oh, that's just the way I am. That's not holy living. That's giving up. It's not trying to become like him. It's being satisfied with performing being fashioned at least part of a life after our old lusts, our old things. And last but not least, which is probably the most important, is that we be motivated by him. You think about those verses I read in Deuteronomy 5:29. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I think there's a heart there to saying that they would just learn to love me and want to be holy because I am holy, and they want to be like me. They've seen what I've done for them. They understand what I've done for them. They're obedient children. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, is it easy? No. Do most people do it? No. Do most people who say that they're holy, are they holy? More than likely not. They probably have something to deal with when it comes to pride. But what are we looking for? Do you want to become more like Jesus Christ? And get rid of those things that are slowing you down your walk. Once again, it can be a lack of faith, not understanding your faith. It can be things such as simple as letting immorality into our lives through TV or music, or even just our entertainment, what takes up our time. But also it can be things of our attitudes. We need to guard those things up. Stop letting that stuff slow us down so we can run this race. Let's be obedient children. And let's not just be obedient children on the easy things. I realize nothing's easy, but the things we've conquered. Instead, let's be obedient children in all areas of our life. And let's do it for Him. Let's serve Him for Him, not because we care about what someone else says, or we don't want to make anybody upset. We don't want to have any waves. No, we want to do everything we do based off of what Christ would want us to do because of our love for Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, for a short time of invitation. I don't know how God's spoken to you.